I knew about him most through the church because I was a young choir boy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, he fell out with every vicar that came here. There was always trouble with the chancel and other things, and where he put his chair and all this and the other. And then he had his own oil lamps in the chancel, oil lamps,
mm-hmm.
and no one's allowed to touch them, you know.
And did he have a position of responsibility in the church?
Yes, he was church warden.
Ah, right.
He was church warden.
So that's where he thought he got his rights from then,
yeah,
was it?
But funnily enough, when Mr. Galley came, Mr. Galley was a bell ringer, not an expert, but he was a ringer. And because they had five old bells, but they were just chimed. And he was very keen on these, get these bells restored. And he and old Ellis collected the money within a year and got them rehung in a new frame.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing in the church.
Mm-hmm.
New oak bell frame, £240. That's one of the good things he did, but he caused an awful lot of trouble otherwise. All the parsons I knew had trouble with him over something or other. Well, they put their cloaks, or well, they did this or did that.
So he tried to rule the roost then, did he?
He tried to rule the roost, yeah. But Mr. Galley stood up to him, you see. He lived on his own for a long time, and then he was down a well, apparently, one Saturday afternoon, and he looked up and he saw this woman. And this woman had come from off the train from somewhere. She wanted to... He got a lot of rare stamps. And he married this woman. I can't remember her name now.
And had he been a widower for a long time? Did his first wife die quite early?
I think so, yeah. Probably 20 years. I don't really know. But
I think his second wife was called Folger, wasn't she? Mrs. Folger.
Oh, I don't remember.
And I think she was the widow of another solicitor. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know.
So she just turned up on the train one day and...
Yes. She went round the back, she rang the door, knocked on the door and couldn't find anybody, walked round the back, and he was down this well, I don't know what he was doing, and she looked down and that's the first time he saw her.
Another first sight from a well.
Yeah.
And the other thing which I think is recorded by Sarah Butler is that Hubert Ellis led a protest against the introduction of mains water in the village.
Yes, yes.
Now, you were telling me earlier about there were a lot of people who didn't want mains water.
Mm.
Can you explain that in a bit more for us, please?
Not really, no. I don't know when it came through the water. Was it pre-war?
Yes, it was 1930s. But it took a long time for it to be...
Yeah.
I think it took several years before it came in.
Yeah. Oh, well, they used to protest about anything. I mean, they even... after the war, the parish council decided to have some street lights because it was all... It's dark in those days, mm-hmm. and there weren't many of these street lights miles apart, and I even protested against these lights. People didn't like change.
No. But if you go back to the 30s and water, there must have been some people who had their own arterial supplies, and I suppose Hubert Ellis had his, but then most of the villagers would have had to go to the fountains or the pumps.
The fountains, yes. My father owned an old row of thatched cottages up the road. And this old Farnham's, there's five, six boys that brought up in this one up, one down place. And the old man Farnham used to go, there's an old tank on wheels, you know, on wheels. He used to trundle up to Bell Close here for water.
And so was there a split between people who had to go to the pump? Did they want mains water, or did nobody want mains water?
I can't remember. But it must have been a boon for a lot of people who've been used to fetching water, you know.
Yeah.
You can't believe what it's like now, can you?
No, absolutely not.
When you consider the amount of water that we use.
Oh, I know.
Because there was a thing was near where you live, isn't there?
Yes.
It's run all day and all night.
It was a spring, I think.
Spring, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then Atlas put that big pump in during the war, and that dried everything up.
Mm. So in North End, where was the spring directly in front of our house?
It was just to the left, wasn't it?
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
Just to the left, almost where the entrance to the bowls club is.
Ah, okay.
Used to run there day and night.
Right.
Water. Yeah.
And what did it come out of? Was it just coming out of a pipe or a...
Oh, I can't remember. No. I can't remember.
Because I think a lot of people from North End got their water from that...
Probably. Probably. Yeah.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another spring. It used to be a pub in Warden called the Queen Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There used to be a spring there as well.
Oh, yes.
They all stopped when the outlet started, put this big pump in, lower the water level. Yeah, because lots of these bigger houses had their own pump wells and pumps. Mm-hmm. And of course, old Mrs. Dainty, they had one, and the Storys had one. And of course, with the lowering of the water, they had to put extra pipes on the bottom of the... And it's harder to draw the water up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the Goddins still do that. They still at Birmingham, the Dainties were.
Yeah.